what better place to start with the guy who's going to go probably top 10 somewhere? Olu, what are you thinking about him going into the NFL? Where do you think he'll shake out?
So I'm on a show in Pittsburgh last Thursday or Friday, and I was asked about Olu. You know, they asked if he played right tackle, and I said, no, he was a left tackle here. I said, that's what he is. And we talked about pass blocking. I said, look, he didn't even give up a pressure this past year, let alone a sack. I said, arm extension, footwork. I said, it's outstanding. I said, does he need to be a better run blocker? Yes. And then I was asked a question, which I had never heard in my life.
Oh, good or bad?
Bizarre. Okay.
Okay.
That his hand measurement at the draft is that he has small hands, and does that play a role in the fact he's not a great run blocker? I said, and I said, is this the overthinking part of the segment?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it has more to do with, like, something he's always had to work hard at is his flexibility.
Yeah.
He's always had to work hard at that. That's where the run blocking part comes in.
Yeah. That amazes me. I'm sorry.
But I sat there and went, what the heck are we talking about here? Jack Ham, we were riding on the bus into practice. And we were on the defensive bus. So Jack was talking to the players about the draft and where the draft was back in his day. He said, played the regular season. We got ready for the bowl game. We played the bowl game. And then now Jack, as a senior, didn't have a bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't go to a bowl game that year. But he said, you played the bowl game. He said, then you play an all-star game, maybe two. And they had the draft.
Yeah.
And the players were amazed because that, of course, is not what they're used to. Now they're used to bowl game, all-star games, combine, pro day. Individual workouts, things like that.
Okay. And I just quickly on the hand thing, Jason Kelce, I believe, talked about it with Lane Johnson. That he was like, I can never be you, Lane, because Lane's just a freak of nature. His hands are gigantic. Jason's like, yeah, my hands are tiny, and the reason I'm so good is because my hands are big enough. That doesn't matter. Like, no one's hands are going to be small enough that it's an issue. Like, the whole thing with Kenny Pickett, oh, he has got tiny hands.
Well, quarterback's a little different.
But even then.
Quarterback's a little different because the reason they talk about hand size with a quarterback is when you're holding the ball out like that and you get hit like that. If you have that vice grip of bigger hands, your odds of not getting rid of the ball are better.
I get
opposed to smaller hands, if you get hit, it could come right out, and also that's why they get concerned.
I get hand size with quarterbacks, and I get hand size with receivers. That's where it makes sense, because receivers, it helps to have bigger hands just for a catch radius.
But for an
O-lineman, how big is Olu? He's what, 6'5", 6'7"? He's gigantic?
He's huge.
He's huge. His arms are crazy long as is.
Yeah, yep.
At that point, it doesn't matter how small his hands are, unless they're like absurdly tiny.
I'm just saying, I've never heard this before.
That's wild.
Never had heard this. Like, you have to be kidding me.
If you are a top 10 pick and you're like, we could take Olu, he should be third overall in this draft, but we're going to pass on him because his hands are too small to block as great as he could. That's, you're asking for a reason to not take a player.
Well, there's no problem with asking the question. There's no problem with asking the question. But that told me at this point that it's so deep into the month of April now. And I realize that all these teams are pouring a lot of money into the pick. So they want as much information as possible to help them make the pick. I got that. Right? But you can overthink it. I mean, that's the problem. You can, in fact, you can talk yourself out of picks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That you regret later. Like, here's one. Rack up a tape and watch it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, and if you look at it, let's say I see a problem, you see a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up looking at it and you're like, I don't see a problem, we're taking him.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Yeah.
Performance means everything. And again, I completely understand why somebody wants as much information as possible.
Yeah.
Why they want all the measurements. But in the end, can you play the game?
Mm-hmm.
Can you help my team win? That's all I need to know here at this point. Mm-hmm. Everything else is gravy, right? It's all gravy after that. So Olu will, he could go to your team, the Saints. He could go to the Jets.
I was going to say, if he ended up as a New Orleans Saint, I would be very happy, is how I'll put it, mm-hmm. because we are in need of a tackle because we're missing. We have one open slot because Trevor Penning has not been great at all. He's been a liability. And then Ryan Ramczyk is apparently, per Dennis Allen, like dying. Mm-hmm. And so either him, Troy Fontenot out of Washington. It's a very interesting draft this season.
Yeah.
So Olu, of course, is on the O-line. Now let's flip it to a guy who would hypothetically be going at him off right. the edge in Chop Robinson is the second guy I want to bring up. Chop, first round pick. He's going to go somewhere yeah. in that ballpark. Where he goes, he could. Projections have had him really high. Some have had him really low. He's kind of got a weird stock in the draft where, like, he bounces.
Yeah.
So he could go top 10. He could go 30th. We don't know. But what are you thinking about him translating to the NFL and going to the next level?
He'll translate well to the NFL because he has strength and burst.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Jared Verse of Florida, who started his career at Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And then went from Albany and transferred to Florida. I look at Verse and I look at Chop, and I see two guys off the edge. It's amazing how we're talking about a left tackle and an edge rusher
mm-hmm.
out of the gate, because those are two critical positions.
Every team needs them.
All right.
No team has enough of them.
You have to have. And Chop is disruptive. People say, well, what about his stats? He disrupted so many yeah. plays or funneled somebody towards somebody mm-hmm. else because of how quickly he got there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is going to be an excellent NFL player.
It's the same argument people have had for years on, like, oh, but Aaron Donald doesn't have enough sacks. Yeah, because he's getting triple teamed every yeah. chance the team gets to. Doesn't matter if Chop doesn't have enough sacks if he's getting doubled and causing someone else, like an Adisa Isaac, who's also in this draft, to get open and right. get a sack on the QB. Like, he's never going to be the sack leader on your team if he's getting doubled and right. Hit off the edge by a tight end or a running back. Like, it doesn't matter. So he'll translate well. And speaking of Adisa Isaac, him as well. He's got some good draft stock. I don't know exactly where he's ranked in this draft, but he's looking to be some form of first, probably yeah. day two pick.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about him going into the NFL alongside Chop?
Again, he brings to the table burst and length off the edge. He has more length than Chop does.
Mm-hmm.
He also brings an element to the table that a defensive coordinator is going to love, and that is his ability to drop into pass coverage when you zone blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can zone blitz all you want. Hey, great, somebody drops into coverage, and they have no idea where they're going, what they're doing, but they at least drop somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's really effective when you have somebody that can drop into pass coverage from a defensive end spot and understands the proper depth of a drop and how to play it. He does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very smart player. And I think he is somebody that plays the run well. He gets to the quarterback, creates hurries, and brings versatility because he has naturally been able to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a defensive coordinator, somebody that already is a really good defensive end that then adds that into the mix
mm-hmm.
becomes a valuable player to have.
Yeah. And now going back further on the defense, three cornerbacks Penn mm-hmm. State's got in the draft. You have Johnny Dixon, yep. Kalen King, Daquan Hardy. I remember going into last season, I believe King was like, people were putting him in the first round.
Yeah.
He has since fallen. ESPN currently has him ranked 250th, and he's the 35th ranked corner.
Yep.
So I guess just across the board on the three of them, how are you feeling going into the NFL? Where do you think they may go, and how do you think they'll translate, especially King? Because that has been the most interesting thing for me as just a general fan who did not watch Penn State previously going into this past season, because I didn't watch a lot of Penn State because I went to Syracuse and I didn't get to watch a lot. So now being immersed in this environment, seeing him fall from a first rounder to a probable day two, day three pick is very intriguing to me.
When Joey Porter Jr. was on the other side, people attacked Kalen King, and he played great. His ability to cover, his ability to get the proper leverage. You know, you need to turn somebody to the sideline, he could do that. Need him to turn to the help, he could do that. This year, people for a period of time didn't throw at him. But the area where he really improved was playing the run. He really improved as a guy that played the run. The disappointing game has to be the Ohio State game with Marvin Harrison. And that's the game, I think, that sticks out more than anything else that has people going, oh, well, you know, he's not a first-round pick. He had a disappointing combine in terms of his 40 time. He dramatically improved that at Pro Day. He will be a really good pro because he'll be able to help you not only at corner, but he'll help you on special teams. And that's it, for the key for him is to get into a camp. Once he gets into a camp, he's going to show his value right away. I'm still big on Kalen King. A lot of people may not be, but I still am because I see a lot there. And I think he played better than people realized this past season. Johnny Dixon had a great season. Really started with the end of the 2022 season, which then dovetailed into the Rose Bowl. And those no Joey Porter Jr., which meant Johnny had got his chance. Johnny played really, really well. That set up 23, where I thought he had an excellent season as a cover corner, stayed away from penalties, and just made plays. Was decent against the run, but I thought played very well in coverage. And then there's Daquan Hardy. Hardy brings versatility to the table. He can play corner, but he's a little small over there. We all know he can play the slot corner. That's a huge plus for him. And he had his best season in 23. That was his best season. How he played corner, how he played the slot corner, it was absolutely his best season. Where he then brings value to a team is that he not only has the ability to return punts, but he can cover kicks. And he's going to bring us, and he might be somebody that becomes valuable to a team, not just on punts, but under the new kickoff rule, he could be valuable in the new kickoff rule with his speed that he brings to the table and his ability to see the field when he does return it. And that's so I think he'll be valuable in a couple of different roles.
And flipping now back to the offensive side, the last player I can kind of really see having some form of draft notice, he's going to be taken somewhere. People are going to see Caden Wallace again, offensive line.
Theo Johnson,
as well, tight end,
and Hunter Norzad. I've been asked a lot about Norzad on shows the last couple of weeks, so I'll go through those three guys.
So let's go Theo Johnson first.
Theo Johnson, pure size, ability to catch the ball, too big for a safety to handle, too quick for a linebacker to handle. Runs good routes, has improved dramatically as a blocker, which he had to. I mean, Brenton Strange was the entire package over there at tight end, and Theo Johnson picked up on what Brenton Strange did to get himself into the league. So I think he's going to be a valuable player for a lot of people.
And he's currently sitting sixth amongst tight ends, 111th overall, so he'll be a day two pick, probable, is what we've got right now.
Hunter Norzad, he is getting a lot of buzz that he would be an early third-day pick. When you're sitting there and you have the versatility and this is going to go to Caden Wallace as well. When you have the versatility to play multiple positions mm-hmm. and you're a third-day pick, that is big because NFL teams normally carry 7 to 8 offensive linemen on game day. They don't carry 10 to 12. They mm-hmm. carry 7 or 8 depending on the mm-hmm. philosophy of the team. That means you have to have people that can play multiple spots. The fact that he can play both guard spots and center is really important. Mm-hmm. Powerfully built, especially in the upper body. I thought he snapped the ball well all season long. Also, look, he's a Cornell grad and also a Penn State grad.
Smart dude.
He's right. If I'm having a guy that has to call out, make calls on the offensive line up mm-hmm. front, that's the kind of brain power I want calling out plays.
Yeah.
Up front. Caden Wallace unquestionably had his best season mm-hmm. in 2023. He quietly went about his business, worked. I don't think a lot of people noticed how mm-hmm. well he played this year. He also has the ability to play guard. Mm-hmm. So, again, we go back to he can play right tackle. He can mm-hmm. play guard. He can play left tackle if need be. Mm-hmm. Better right tackle than
yeah.
left.
But he can do it.
But he can do it, which means that he can make a roster mm-hmm. like Pugh did from Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin Pugh's good.
Okay. Ended up making the Giants because he could play 4 spots. Mm-hmm. Well, Caden Wallace can play 4 spots, mm-hmm. and that's going to help him. And again, he's coming off his best season.
And I want to remind listeners as well of how
Curtis Jacobs, by the way, being yeah. the other guy you need to talk about.
And we'll discuss Jacobs in a second. But in terms of the O-line guys, like just as a casual reminder for people, do you remember where Jason Kelce went in the NFL draft?
Sixth round,
191st yeah. overall.
Right.
You can get value anywhere. If you're a good player like Wallace or Norzad, you can make your name in the NFL. You don't have to be a first-round guy. You don't got to be Joe Alt or Olu. You don't got to go first round. Like, you can go in these later rounds, and if you make your name at camp, you get really good, you show why you are there,
yeah,
it helps, and it's good. And now let's go to linebacker Curtis Jacobs. How are you feeling about him going into this draft? He's currently slated at 84th overall in the draft, so probably a late day 2 pick somewhere in the 3rd round range is where he's currently ranked amongst ESPN.
Every down linebacker, rare in this league
mm-hmm.
because of his ability to play the pass.
Mm-hmm.
He plays the run very well. When it comes time to blitz, he times it well, and he scrapes, which means he's very difficult to pick up because he's right off the hip of the person he is blitzing. And then his ability to drop into coverage is a big plus for him. He ran a really good time. He's at the right weight. And he had talked to me about maybe dropping down a little bit to run the 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I said, you sure you want to do that? He goes, no, I want to turn in the time. I said, okay. Right, and then he decided to keep the weight, mm-hmm. and he still ran a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be a really good player. I mean, second day, maybe third day, just good player.
And a player I would, whenever I'm talking linebackers or thinking of linebackers, and I want a player to watch at least, and I know I'm a Saints fan, so I'm biased, DeMario Davis. I've said this, I think he's the best linebacker in the NFL. He isn't the fastest, he isn't the strongest, he isn't the quickest, mm-hmm. but he does everything really well. He's, again, good at anticipating the blitz, comes at the right times, can cover well, he can do pretty much everything for the Saints, and that is why he is 35 and in the NFL still. And if Curtis Jacobs can become a DeMario Davis level player, he's going to get paid, he's going to stay in the NFL, and is going to show why he is as good as he is. So overall, all these Penn State guys are probably going to go in the draft. The other guy who in my head I'm thinking of would be Alex Felkins,